Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget all the things you can do there, including subscribe to my newsletter and my blog right there at the homepage of smallbusinessadvocate.com. Mike Staver is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Michael is the CEO of the Staver Group. He's the author of the booklet, Leadership Isn't for Cowards. He's one of our top leadership experts, and he's with us right now. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always, especially talking about leadership on President's Day. What better day to talk about leadership, right?
Exactly. And, you know, given the varying types of leaders we've had in the in that office over the years, it's particularly...
Sometimes using the term loosely.
That's right.
But, yeah, it's an interesting day to be talking about leadership. And, well, Michael, where do you think we are if, as you gaze out over the landscape and the marketplace, government, wherever you might see leaders? Are you hopeful or are you cynical?
Yeah, you know, I guess the answer to the question is yes. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful and I'm cynical. I think leaders who get it, and I don't mean to be trite about that, but I think getting it has to do with the degree to which a leader can be authentic in their dealings and can get clear. You know, I tell people all the time, there are only three messages you as a leader, or questions you as a leader really need to answer. What do you stand for? Who knows? And what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. And if you can answer those three questions, I'm hopeful. But the reality is, Jim, most people, much less leaders, can't answer those questions. And when they can answer those questions, there's a challenge getting that out to the people that follow them.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about our last two presidents, I think about the things that I like about them. I liked about both of them, and the things that I don't like about both of them. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I think about George Bush, I like his leadership style in that I think he doesn't spend a lot of time looking at polls.
All right.
I wish that that Bill Clinton had spent less time looking at polls and more time leading. And then you get to some of the decisions that they've made. And, you know, Mr. Bush haven't always agreed with some of his leadership decisions, but I agreed with a lot of the decisions that Mr. Clinton made.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that would have made Bill Clinton a better president if he had read the polls a little bit less often.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the clarity of purpose is, President Clinton was so articulate and so...
What a great capability he is.
Really, still is. I mean, in terms of world opinion and that kind of thing, I think that really any leader who is transparent to the point that they can be, and I think obviously presidents have certain amount, degree of restriction relative to classified information, but here's my concern. My concern with presidents and all leaders is that sometimes they lose touch with the people that they're leading in service of the people that surround them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a significant difference. And if you pay too much attention to your little inner circle, I just talked to a CEO of a healthcare company in the Northeast last week, and I said, the more you're out there face-to-face with your followers, the more likely you're going to be mm-hmm. dialed in as a leader. Just, you got to be careful about who you listen to.
Well, some people call that managing inside your own head.
Right.
If you don't get out and see what's really going on out where the rubber meets the road, you're managing inside your head.
Right. That's right.
And
it's amazing the kind of stuff you can make as that your opinion that you can create as fact that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
That so many people think, well, this is the way it is. Well, how do you know that? I talked to a client the other day, and they said, this is what our customers really are after. I said, well, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to your managers? Have you talked to the people on the front line? Are you really about asking the questions, or are you about trying to drive the answers all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that disappoints me about major corporations is what their priorities are. Mm-hmm. And more and more, I fear that a lot of their downfall is that their priority is not their customers.
Right.
Their priority is more about manipulating customers than it is about serving customers. And I think that's a lesson small business owners should take in leadership from the big guys. What do you think?
No question. And, you know, this is interesting. In 2004, more money was spent on customer service training than on any other single topic. But have you noticed how utterly pathetic service continues to be out there?
Yep.
And I think the reason is because leaders, and I think you're listeners are in a real prime spot to make a real difference, because you know some of these big box organizations are coming in and trying to squash the entrepreneurial business owner. And I think that if we really got clear and really not about serving our customers, but about getting a heart for service, that what people want is human beings connecting with human beings to create human relationships. And if we can get out there and figure out how the customer defines that, I'll be in D.C. tomorrow speaking to real estate agents I mentioned to you earlier, and most of them are constantly trying to drive the transaction instead of asking the seller, buyer, what do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have a heart for service, the customer's going to feel it and be loyal. If you don't, price notwithstanding, they'll go somewhere else.
Well, that's right. But what is that leadership? You know, a lot of times I think that what you and I call leadership, to the average small business owner, they don't think of it as leadership. And I mean, in other words, I would like for more small business owners to believe that the decisions they make, the hard decisions, the decisions they make to serve customers, to provide them with good value, to make sure that they're happy, to deliver good customer service, I'd like for them to realize that when they do that, they're being leaders, and I don't think they do. I think they miss that opportunity to be proud of themselves, I guess is what I'm saying.
No question about it, because to my mind, leadership is simply influence. It's the degree to which one has the courage to influence another person toward some result. You know, when Martin Luther King got up in the Mall of Washington, he didn't really have any authority whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get up in front of them and say, I have a hunch. Mm-hmm. He got up with some certainty about his leadership. And had he doubted that when he was 1-1 down in Alabama, or had he doubted it when he was 1-1 somewhere else, he would have never been able to lead. And I agree with you. I think many entrepreneurs see themselves as more transactional-based than they do leadership-based. And I think if they understand they're really in the business of influencing other people to compel them toward a specific result, whatever result they define, I think they're going to be much more powerful in their communities and in their companies.
And I think your leadership ability manifests itself in the values of your company that you give your company as a leader.
That's right.
Back, I'm going to get Michael to talk to us about that, because he's one of the best at doing that. Mike Staver, ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of the Staver Group, the author of the booklet, Leadership Isn't for Cowards, How to Lead Courageously in a Turbulent Age. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Chicago to take us out.
And if you leave me, then the man steps right up to the microphone.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Michael Staver, S-T-A-V-E-R. Michael, I would like for my audience to be able to have access to this book, Leadership Isn't for Cowards. How do they do that?
If they go to, they can do it one of two ways. They can send an email to B. Stanton, S-T-A-N, like Nancy, T-O-N, at thestavergroup.com. That's B. Stanton at thestavergroup.com. Or they can go to our website, www.thestavergroup.com, and download the PDF or send us an email. We'll send it to them for free, actually.
So it's a free book.
It's a free booklet on what we believe is the most critical leadership trait, which is leading courageously and being aligned with what you believe.
Well, folks, I hope you'll take advantage of that. Go to thestavergroup.com and download the PDF. Or you'll send them a hard copy, right? That's what you do.
That's right.
Which I'm very proud to have in my possession. Michael, values.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership comes back to values, doesn't it?
It really does.
And do you think, it concerns me, just as I think a lot of small business owners are leading, they're not giving themselves credit for leading, because in the decisions that they make, so many small business owners have installed, bequeathed, given their company's values that they don't realize that they have, and that's a form of leadership. Talk to us about that.
I think that we all have values, and I say all the time, show me what you do, and I'll show you what you value. And most leaders, particularly entrepreneurs, just do what they do. They build their businesses out of the essence of who they are, and they don't really articulate that clearly to start establishing a culture. And it's critical, I think, at this stage of the game, that there be an articulated set of what we believe and how we act in relationship to that. I say to people all the time, have you ever looked at the mission statement of a company and thought, gosh, I'd love to work there, mm-hmm. and then realized you were working there? The reason is most people think it's an exercise to hang a nice poster on the wall. And what I say, whether you're running a lawnmower shop with a couple of guys fixing lawnmowers or whether you're running a large company, you need to have a clearly articulated set of what you believe, no more than five usually, values, and then what are the behaviors that are evidence that those are our values, so that the people in the culture have some guiding principles for how we act every day at work, because as the company grows, that's going to become harder and harder to manage.
Right.
And that's really critical.
What would be an example of some of those?
I'll give you an example. Let's take my company, for instance. I run a small entrepreneurial company, and our number one core value is authenticity. It means to be precisely and exactly what is presented. So we have certain behaviors that fall under that. For instance, we facilitate a culture of yes if it's in alignment with what we do best. We facilitate a culture of no when it's not in alignment with what we do best. There have been some big opportunities come my way that we've had to walk away from because we couldn't be authentically who we were in that environment. If you take one like excellence, if there's a value of excellence, well, what do you do? Well, how do we act that manifests that? And what are those behaviors that go along with that? Teamwork is another value.
One of the things, I'm going to try to convert what you're saying into a real life situation. You know, I mean, whenever I talk to someone, and people call us all the time and want us to help to do something with them or help them with something, want me to manage a project for them or whatever it might be. And if we think we can't do it, we say, look, we're looking for successes. We're not looking for failures.
Right.
We're not the right people to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
Let us help you find somebody who can do this right. We know some people who are good at that.
That's a great example.
And my point is, but here's the thing, Mike. If you're a small business, somebody drops on your doorstep and says, "Let me give you some business." It's hard to turn that down.
It is the hardest thing, especially when the bills are due and you got to make payroll. Or
we've done that when we needed the business, and it was hard.
Yes, I think the reason, the title of the booklet, and the reason the message is leadership isn't for cowards is that, you know, our success and failure in life is strictly determined by the choices that we make. I don't want anybody to think that we're trying to create Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and it's some nirvana, because we've got to make tough choices. I've made choices. I did a time management, 3-hour time management seminar 1 year. I don't know the first thing about time management to the great extent, but I knew enough to be able to do it. But it wasn't in our sweet spot. You got to make tough decisions. And as long as it's not significantly out of alignment with your most important values, like you got to say no to things that compromise your integrity at a fundamental level. But if you don't, I say to people all the time, it would be better not to have any values at all on your wall, not any articulated values with your staff, and tell your staff, hey, I'm just not really into values, than it would be to have them and not live by them.
Well, exactly. And see, that's where, I mean, I think it's good to have these things posted, have them printed. But what's more important to me is that you live and that you repeat the values that you claim to have or that you have today, that you repeat them tomorrow. You know, I'll think of the guy's name in a minute who said this, a French Nobel laureate. He said, integrity has no need of rules.
That's right.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
The name has left me. The guy who said that, integrity has no need of rules. That's one of the things leaders know.
That's no question about it. And it's really how we behave. And you know how you can know what your company's values are? Listen to what your customers say about you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Your customers and your employees will always talk about that.
Michael, give us the website again, please.
It's www.thestavergroup.com.
S-C-A-V-E-R. Thanks, Michael, for being here on President's Day. We'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Folks, go to that website and download this booklet. Leadership isn't for cowards. You'll like it, I promise you. You'll get something out of it, too. Quick break, right back with Dr. Burton Folsom. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.